B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bagel Awards.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion. Okay.
Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chat.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use the code TheSportsHub, or code SportsHub, I'm sorry, during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Hello, gentlemen.
Morning, Fred.
Good morning, Fred.
All right, so we don't have to get in gambling right away, and Dan, feel free to participate in this conversation, but Joe was informed us he was up all night, pretty much, very upset about the Celtics, and you sent an email and you had some points about how they were mismanaged. We have Danny Ainge on at 9 o'clock, and you had some points about how you believe they were mismanaged.
Real quick, what time was that email sent again? Because I'll have to check the time stamp on it.
2:29.
But I mean, 2:29 in the morning.
Yep. So I did bet the Heat last night, and I know Dan Lifshatz has the Heat to win the series. We just felt that they were a deeper team. That's really it. But we did think that I thought it would go 7. Dan, I think, has him in 6. Long story short, my email started off steak and eggs. This year's Celtics team made their 3rd Eastern Conference Finals in 4 years. So I don't want to hear about, you know, they're not experienced or anything like that. 3 out of 4 years. They didn't have to go through Giannis. Kawhi's out of the conference. And they didn't have to face Durant. So it should be a layup, right? I mean, they didn't have to go through any of those guys. Miami, well-coached, drafted well. We know Bam Adebayo, Tyler Herro, and at the trade deadline, they got Jay Crowder, who was terrible last night, Andre Iguodala, who's a great veteran, and Solomon Hill. And we know about Herro. They could have traded up for him. You know they lost a coin flip? They lost a coin flip with Miami. That's how they leaped him in the draft this year. The Celtics could have traded the $5 million assets they had to move up. They wanted Tyler Herro. And don't even get me started about the Kelly Olynyk Giannis thing that they missed out on years ago when they sent Danny Ainge's nephew to Greece to watch this kid. They missed on that. They missed on this one.
Everyone missed on Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You can't blame them for that.
John, at the time, they were the team that was on him.
They
were the team that was... And maybe, you guys were talking about Tyler Herro?
No.
Dude, he played at Kentucky. He's played in the SEC. He goes to Florida and puts up big games. By the way, I also looked this up as well. Robert Williams deserves more minutes. He actually plays better in college than Bam Adebayo. We looked that up. So, like, I think they should have played more Robert Williams. Another thing, Pat Riley, he bolstered his team at the trade deadline. Did better in the draft. That's why they're a game away from the finals. Danny Ainge has not made a trade deadline acquisition since Isaiah Thomas in 2015. A trade deadline move since 2015. How do you feel about that, Dan?
What should they have done this year?
I have to agree. I don't really know what you wanted them to do this year.
Okay, listen, I can give you a bunch of names. The problem with the Celtics was the salary cap. They don't have bad contracts to match up to get anybody with.
Correct.
So you have to try to go with the buyout market. There were other players out there. Whether you like the players or not, this team right now needs help.
They need help. They tried to get Marvin Williams. He didn't want to come here.
Yeah, Andre, I'm just saying.
Marvin Williams went to Milwaukee. He didn't exactly light it up either.
So what? All I'm saying, and you could say you don't like Jeff Green.
Who on the trade market would have helped them win last night?
Bertans would have helped, but he opted out. And of course,
they wanted two first-round picks for Bertans, didn't they?
It's not about who, and this is what's bothering me. It's not about who or what. They've done nothing since 2015. How is that defendable?
They tried because the players don't want to come here. That's not on Danny Ainge for the players not wanting to come here.
Let's keep Javonte Green. Instead of getting any type of veteran that's been there before, that's crap. Listen, it's indefensible. They haven't made a move since 2015.
Who would Javonte Green been an even trade for?
No.
They left them on the roster. And add a veteran.
They didn't want to change the chemistry. The last time I talked to Danny Ainge with you guys, I asked the question. They didn't want to change the chemistry.
Between the starters, he'd trade off any of those guys on the bench if there was a deal to be made.
Yeah, the Bertans. They didn't want to give up more draft picks. Anyways, my point is, guys, how can you defend this? They haven't made a trade deadline move since 2015.
Hey, they've never improved real quick, on Joe, this real team. Quick, Joe, listen, what I've been seeing during this playoff run, not the playoff run, but during this series, you know, hasn't been great. They're the better team, and they're letting Miami beat them. I understand
they could have won all four games, Joe.
I understand it. But where did you think the Celtics were going to finish at the beginning of this season? Did you think they were going to the finals?
I thought they'd be a top four team in the conference. I did.
And they a top four team in the conference. All right. Well, right now they're a top two team in the conference. So they've exceeded your expectations.
Why are you defending the Celtics? Why are you defending them?
No, I'm not defending
this team.
Celtics.
Is turning the ball over at a high rate. They're playing too many minutes. They're putting too much pressure on themselves, and they're turning the basketball over. You can't sit here and tell me that someone else couldn't have at least helped this team in, I don't know, the first eight games of the bubble,
You're magically saying that there's these players that would be available.
There were. I can give you names if you want, but you don't like the names. You don't like the DeAndre Ayton,
the names.
Reggie
the
Jackson, names. Jeff Green, Marvin Williams, Markieff Morris.
Jeff Green would have helped this team. No.
All of those guys went to contenders. Yes. Better teams. They didn't
Jeff Green did not, but also Jeff Green was out of work for 2 months.
I don't know why we're arguing about this.
Of course we're arguing about it.
You guys are defending Danny Ainge.
We're defending the fact that none of those players wanted to come here. Listen, that's different. Like,
guys,
it's not the Celtics' fault that Reggie Jackson wants to go to the Clippers.
You haven't heard from Fred at all, but how can the general manager of the Celtics, who's had its team in 3 out of 4 Eastern Conference Finals, not try to help the team at all or wonder about a Gordon Hayward injury or a Kemba Walker injury? They never got insurance whatsoever. And again, you can say who? That's not my job. That's the general manager's job. All I'm trying to say is they could have won these games without doing any moves. The problem is they're turning the basketball over at a high rate because they're putting too much pressure on themselves and they're playing too many damn minutes.
No, Joe, hang on. Okay, so when we have Danny Ainge on, Joe, if I was to ask Danny Ainge a question about not bolstering the team, how would I phrase that in what should I say?
Hey, Danny, what happened on draft night with Tyler Herro? Was that one of the guys you coveted? And could you have traded up to get him? Would be one. And then the second, when you look at this team now and veterans on these other teams, do you think that this team could have used veteran help instead of, I don't know, D-League players at the end of your bench?
But also, I mean, in the draft, you didn't know Miami wanted Tyler Herro.
Well, we didn't know the Celtics were linked to him, though.
I get that. But Dan, I will say this:
if you do like a player in the draft, and you'll make a move just to leap to give yourself confidence that you can land that player.
Who in the NBA moves up spots to get a player that you like in the top 15 in the draft? Name me a team. I'll do research. Name me a few.
Dan, there's trades all the time where after the pick is made, the team swap.
I get that, but that's to move into like the top three or the bottom end of the first round. At like 12, 13, if you're expecting a player to be there and they're one pick ahead of you, you're not going to try
If you covet a player, there are moves to be made. You could it happens. There's all the time. You see the guys have to switch hats.
Right. I get that, Fred, but you're not going to give up multiple assets to move up two spots when you think the player is going to fall to you.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I also think you guys are talking as if everyone knew Tyler Herro was a sure thing.
He was a great player at Kentucky.
My understanding is that Joe believes that they coveted Herro
They did.
And they believed, and they saw that he was falling, that they could have made a move. Am I correct that they should have?
Absolutely. What are you doing with all these assets now? You have no contract. So here's two more things on this, okay? They drafted Romeo Langford, who hurt his hand last year, fell on the draft, just had surgery again. So that's the guy they got who's useless now. And hopefully he comes back next year and he's good. They're in trouble in the future. This team needed help. I don't know how you guys can't sit there and say they needed help.
Joe, real quick. I'm sorry. Joe, if you pick the Heat to win the series, why are you
complaining about the Celtics?
You're making it sound like the Celtics should be cruising through this.
My take was all along that they could win games without Gordon Hayward, and I think they still could have won games last night. I'll give Hayward credit. The Heat went on. Actually, Spoelstra called the timeout when the Celtics went on a big run. And you know what? They went on a 7-0 run while Gordon Hayward was on the bench. That was I did not like that move by Brad Stevens whatsoever last night. Jay Crowder was terrible for the Heat. They should have continued to go after him. They finally did and put Jimmy Butler in the game. I just have two more takes, and then I'll shut up. They never protected themselves from injury with Hayward and Kemba. That's a fact. And my point is the team is right there. They're right there. How couldn't this management help this team? And it's easy to say, oh, Joe, how, why? Dude, they're right there. And looking ahead, if Gordon Hayward opts out, it's catastrophic for the salary cap. $34 million hit. They don't get any of that money back. They need him to opt back in or opt out and re-sign for less money.
He's not going to opt out.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you. It's catastrophic if he moves on.
He's not going to.
For the salary cap. And then Marcus Smart is your only contract you can move going forward.
Now, would you move Marcus Smart?
I think you have to. He's at his highest, value he'll ever be. And I know he's the heart and soul of the team, but last night you can't turn the ball over.
He's not making.
He's won you games
money.
And he's lost you games. That's true. That's a fact.
He's not making a ton of money. You're not going to get a ton back.
But my only thing is, guys, is it's you can't sit here and be like, oh yeah, you know they haven't made a trade in 5 years and everything's fine. That's just they're right there, guys. They need,
just I mean
they need
as
a bolster.
I said,
why are they in trouble? I think there's a lot of things
to be mad about this morning. Well, Joe, I think there's a lot of things to be mad about this morning. One of the main ones is, and I agree with you about this, is that of all the years, if they end up losing this series, this does seem like a lost opportunity. You're right. Giannis wasn't standing in their way. Kawhi was gone. And as you said, next season, you're going to have a major problem with Kevin Durant in the East. That's disappointing. I mean, that's a crusher. But take a look at what's been going on. The reason they're losing it is the turnovers, is the sloppy play.
And you understand my reasoning for those turnovers, right?
You think that they're playing, the starting five are playing way too many minutes?
They played too many minutes in the playoffs.
Did you see that the Heat only played seven guys last night? You shorten your bench in the playoffs. You play seven people.
Okay. It's your opinion, yes.
It has nothing to do with fatigue.
Jason Tatum is 22 years old. Jalen Brown is 20.
He's been there three times, Dan.
I don't know. It's not an excuse.
He's been there three times.
Joe, name me a player who is 22 years old who made the conference final.
It doesn't matter. He's been there three times. It just shows you when it comes to
crunch. It does matter. He's 22 years old. He's not 26.
It's fine. Hey, listen, I've said my takes. You guys can disagree with them. I'm just telling you, this team's right there, and they've done nothing for them. They're right there.
Let's break. We can continue this. We'll continue this. You guys can stick around as long as you want. We'll continue this. You guys, Joe came correct. He's got his points. He's passionate about them. We'll continue with this. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What's up? Drive home with Felger and Maz this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hero going slow, plenty of time on the shot clock. Now it's down to 6 as he launches a 3 off balance, but he hits it anyway.
Tyler Hero!
33 points for Tyler Hero in 32 minutes. Jaylen Brown, left side 3. Spins around the cylinder twice. Two full trips around the rim before it fell in. And Jaylen Brown with a big answer to keep the Celtics within 5. 3:46 to go.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Celtics, 3-1. Behind. Outplayed last night by the Miami Heat. Still. Opportunity to win Jason Tatum was disastrous in the first half. Everyone knows all these things. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshitz, the Bankroll Boys are in studio. And Dan, you seem to be countering Joe's arguments, but Joe Murray is very fired up. He is fired up off the air. And he's fired up. It's good. So
no,
Joe,
he doesn't turn it off. I like that.
So, Joe, all right, so you, what are you looking up now? You were looking up something.
No, Dan just asked me name other 22-year-old guys. I'm going to give you the names.
Okay, but be specific. 22-year-old guys that did what?
That have been carrying the load, I guess.
Okay.
Kobe Bryant was 21. Tony Parker.
So now we're going back to Tony Parker. Andrew, he was behind Tim Duncan.
Andrew Bynum. You asked for names.
Kobe played.
You guys
Shaq.
Don't like my names, but you asked.
Well
for
yeah,
them.
We're countering with facts. Yes, yeah,
Andrew Bynum was the third player on that team. You're not the star player. You have Dwayne Wade, and you can argue Kawhi Leonard.
You asked for the names. I gave you the names.
But I'm telling you, there's two names. It's Dwayne Wade back in 2006, which, again, Shaq basically let him open.
And he had Shaq, yeah.
And it was Kawhi Leonard, who had Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan.
You're making my point. You know that, right? This team needs help.
How are we making
this team needs help? They're right there, and they need help, and the GM has done nothing. How can you guys be okay with the fact that they've made no trade deadline moves in 5 years?
The GM has put together a team that has made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Rich, every trade deadline, are you like, oh, who the Celtics going to get today, and they do nothing? How do you feel about that?
I think that you look at this trade deadline, and you still have yet to give me a trade that would have worked.
Well, I can give you 15 guys that got traded. Dude, okay, I just told you, Pat Riley got Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala, and Solomon Hill, all who played last night. Crowder was terrible, don't get me wrong. Those guys helped them this year. Robert Covington went to Houston.
And did you see what they
Jordan
gave
Clarkson
up to get
went
that?
To the Jazz. There were guys that were traded that made impacts. And then there were opt-out players that made impacts. Guys, I'm giving you names. You're asking for them, and you're just refuting it.
Yeah, okay, that's it.
Who do you think the Celtics... Okay, so let's say Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder, which I agree. I loved that trade for Miami when it happened. I thought it was a great trade. You bring in a veteran. I love Andre Iguodala, and Jay Crowder has been really good. Last night he wasn't.
Yeah, and you know who made really that move? Good. Pat Riley did, Danny Ainge.
But now tell me, who on the Celtics would they have taken to get that?
They can't
the
make
5,000 million draft picks that you still hold, plus salary.
You can't make the move when you don't have salary to trade. This is not the MLB. So who did you want them to get? Who are they trading?
How does salary Pat companies? Riley make the moves? And I get
because
it. They had Justice Winslow.
They had guys
Deion Jones. I get it.
Contracts.
I get it.
They had contracts to trade. Joe.
You could have gotten Andre Iguodala and matched up their money.
You can't
for
get
who?
On. You can't get Andre Iguodala's contract.
Guys, what was Iguodala's contract? And I don't even know why are you guys defending somebody not making a move to improve a team?
Because
why?
I don't know the move they could have made.
See, I hate that. It's not my job to come up with the answer.
Well, if you're going to complain about it, you have to come
I've
up
been
with the
giving
answer.
You names. How can you even get on me about that?
Because you're... Because
you hate every name.
No,
you hate every name and don't like anything that I have to say when it comes to improving your team.
In the bio,
you don't like it.
The players don't want to come here. That's
well,
not
okay, that, whose fault is that to make it a culture to not want to come to Boston?
You can't change the culture of Boston compared to a place
like
let's
go to Miami, because it's a great place, and Pat Riley, you know what?
I mean...
That's what they do.
If you're asking
the Celtics can't do that.
Oh, man, if you're asking...
Why are you defending them? I can't believe you, Dan.
Because you're asking about who am I getting on the buyout market. You're going to complain about Marvin Williams, who the Celtics tried to get. He went to Milwaukee.
You need a veteran. You needed guys along the way to limit minutes.
I don't want to be that guy. But we got to turn it down a little bit. I mean, it's like we're right there at 9.
No, we don't. Dude. No, we don't.
I don't understand. Okay. Why are you getting mad at Danny Ainge for Marvin Williams wanting to go to Milwaukee over Boston?
He's done nothing. He's done nothing. He's done nothing.
No, listen,
in 5 years, he's done nothing.
If you want to get on him for not making a move, that's fine. Right. But just I don't see a move that really helps them right now.
Like, By the way, Iguodala made $17 million this year.
And granted, I don't know. You'd probably have to trade Smart, and then you're not doing that. I get it. It's fine. It's one name. All I'm trying to say is they've done nothing in 5 years. The last trade they've made was Isaiah Thomas. And listen, buyout guys, people are going to throw names out it. And you guys aren't going to like them. Jamal Crawford was a guy late. He sucked, okay? I get it. Isaiah Thomas was there. You guys laughed it off. That's fine.
I think
Jeff Green was very good in the playoffs and could have been a big year. I think Markieff Morris, who maybe didn't want to come here anyways, could have helped this team. Reggie Jackson was a cast-off, made a big money, and was very good for Oklahoma City. There were guys that were out there. You can't say they weren't guys out there. The problem was, do they want to come here? Maybe they didn't. And what Danny Ainge said himself, he didn't want to disrupt the chemistry on the team.
And all that. These guys
so they
got
kept
more
Javonte
playing
Green.
Time where they went as opposed to getting playing time here.
And in a better location for more serious contenders. You were not considered a better team than Milwaukee or Toronto at the time that this happened. You just weren't. And so therefore they went to the Clippers and the Lakers, two teams that you and I both fought over during the season. Who's going to win the NBA championship?
Whatever helps
Clippers
you guys sleep at night, I just think they should have made a move. You're right there.
Can I just say one
thing? You're right there.
You asked, what has this GM done in the last 5 years? How about brought in Kemba Walker?
Okay, can I give you more?
How about drafted Jason Tatum? How about brought in Jaylen Brown?
You had the number one pick. You had Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, Kemba Walker. You've been to 3 out of 4 finals, Eastern Conference finals, and you have not made a final.
And they were never the best team in the East.
It doesn't matter. You've had 3 cracks at it. 4 cracks at it. Mm-hmm. 3 cracks. You've had the number one pick. Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, and Kemba Walker in 3 top 6 picks. And you haven't made a final. How's that make? I can't believe you guys are defending this. This is insane to me.
Because if this was the Patriots
or the Bruins or another team, you guys would freak out. No. And I don't know if it's because Ainge is coming on today, but like this is a serious thing.
No, because their best player is 22 years old.
So we're just going to wait until they're better. No. Huh, they need more.
Yes,
need
that's
more
how
age.
It works.
Yeah, great.
I mean, just, that's how it works.
Again,
I don't know. I think the Celtics have more talent. I think the Heat were deeper. And I think personally, I think Pat Riley made the moves at the deadline and drafted better than Danny Ainge.
He did, but this is about your best player being 22 and 23 years old. I'm not. I did not expect the Celtics to get to the Eastern Conference to the finals. Yeah. You did. Maybe that's the difference because I expected the Heat to win the series. I looked at Jimmy Butler. I looked at the Andre Iguodala, and I said that those guys' mentality, their talent, their depth is better than what you have.
But the thing is, behind all this though, Dan, that makes me laugh is that Joe didn't expect them to go to the Eastern to the finals because he picked the Heat to win this.
Yes, you know why? Because they made trade deadline acquisitions, drafted better, and they were a deeper team, and they didn't have Gordon Hayward. How's that wrong?
Yeah, but that's a bad argument, Rich, because you're mad that they're
not going to the finals, even though at the beginning of all this you said that they're not going to the finals.
Because they didn't make the moves and Gordon Hayward was injured. You didn't know if Gordon Hayward was playing. I thought they were better without Hayward. Does it look like that right now? No. I'm still going to die on that hill and say they could have won these games without him. Again, last night, the Heat went on a 7-0 run and they just left Hayward on the bench. You guys watched the game, right? They went on a 7-0 run. And then, like, why did they stop going at Jay Crowder? Jason Tatum scored 16 points in a row on Jay Crowder last night. I know that that's a guy they made a trade deadline move for, but, like, he's been very good for that team this year. And they made a trade for him at the deadline. The Celtics have not made a move, guys, in 5 years. I don't know how you can defend this anymore.
I'm just looking at the roster and say, okay, who am I going to be able to move salary cap-wise?
It's not my job. It's not my job.
I get it's not your job, but it's also the reality of the situation is the salary on the Celtics roster.
This is talk radio, right? You give an opinion, then you guys turn. I'm not the guy who comes up with these reasons. It's just for the last 5 years, they've been happy with being what they are, and it hasn't gotten them over the hump.
I'm not happy about it either, Joe. I'm just trying to be realistic about it and say, who could you have gotten with your salary outside of trading, Marcus Smart or Daniel Tice? And I look at the roster and say, you don't really have a lot unless you wanted to trade Gordon Hayward, and I didn't really want to do that. I know you
like
think that I think
$30 million. What are you going to get for?
I mean, you could probably
get 50 cents on the dollar.
Okay, that's fine, but you could take that salary to make in another trade, and that's exactly what you want.
Yeah, they could have done a Drummond trade, which probably wouldn't have worked out.
Horrendous.
I know. I'm just giving you names.
Okay, but Andre Drummond isn't a good player and would not have added what you needed to beat this team.
I don't know about that actually.
Well, he was traded for cap space,
and I know his money is huge and whatever.
If anyone valued Andre Drummond around the week, he wouldn't have been. League, he would not have been traded.
All I'm saying is, I'm giving you guys names. You don't like them? That's fine. If you can sleep at night knowing you've gone this far and the team hasn't gotten any help, they need help, guys. The team needs. If you can't sit here today and say that this team needs help, I don't know. I don't know what you're watching.
They need help. I just don't know how you can do it. Again, I'm asking.
It's not our
jobs
to figure it out, man.
It is. That's part of the. That's part of the situation. It's our job to figure out how can you at least figure out how to make a move cap wise. If you can't make the move cap wise, why are we even talking about it? That's like saying the Patriots should go out and get Patrick Mahomes. Why? I don't know. It's a talking point on the radio. The Patriots should get Patrick Mahomes because they should.
I think they could have packaged guys with a Poirier salary and some other guys that could have equated $5 million with the how many draft picks do they have this year, John Wallach?
They have two in the first round. They have theirs in Memphis.
And then Memphis, and then is that Sacramento pick over? Is that's all done now?
I think that's done. I'll have to check. Right. But they have two in the first round this year.
Two first round draft picks this year. Okay.
One at the bottom of the lottery and their own,
which could move you up one slot in the draft.
Again, you didn't know Miami wanted Harrow. So if you're there and you're sitting. Okay, so you're going to move up to 11 to potentially move up for a team that you don't know if they're going to like Mike Tyler or not. You have no idea, but you're going to give up assets to
move
up.
We talk about drafts all the time. I don't know why we can't talk about this.
Because
they drafted before Romeo Langford.
Okay, but
they had the assets to move
up. All right. There you go. Well, I love the passion. I really do. I love the passion. I love the arguments. You guys feel free to stay. We have Mike Gorman coming on with us. And then if you guys stick around, we can get some bets in. Feel free to hang out. We'll be right back here at the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Miami by five.
Give Miami credit, man. Just hanging in there.
Tatum catches. Decent look, doesn't take it.
Whoa.
And he travels. And that may sum up the night for Jason Tatum. He had an open three. He didn't want to take it, wanted to drive to get closer. And it's called for another turnover.
Just take the shot. They're giving you that look.
I wasn't aggressive enough. I didn't score in the first half. That's unacceptable. So, you know, I know I had to play better. And that's what I tried to do.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz in studio. Mike Gorman, the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He is brought to you by Corona, official import beer of the Boston Celtics. Mike joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. One nugget of information I got from Dan in the break was that the Heat have had two draft picks since 2015. They were Hero and Abadayo. And as the Celtics enter this draft with, I believe, three picks, that they're like, where
you
are
mean
they?
The first round? First
in the
round
first
picks?
Round. Like, okay. Where. In three last year, where are you going to stash these guys? And that comes to you, Mike Gorman. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Now,
That wasn't very good last night, though.
No, it was not good. But, okay, so Joe is exceptionally passionate, and I'll synthesize his argument, then he can speak for himself. But the argument is here is if you look at the Heat and the way that they were constructed, the belief is they're a deeper team, even though they're only playing really seven guys. The Celtics have not made a move since 2015 at the trade deadline. Are you under the? Should they have done more? Have they failed this young core by not making any moves at the deadline? And if so, what could they have done?
I don't think they have. Number one. Because I've yet to hear a trade proposed to me that I went, oh, yeah, that would work. I'd like that guy for that guy. I just don't think there's been the opportunity there. And I think, you know, I think it was Dan earlier saying your best players are 20 and 21, 22 years old. I think the fellas are in pretty good shape going forward, to be honest with you. I didn't pick them way back when this altered season began to win the whole thing. I thought once they got in the bubble, I thought anybody really had a chance of winning. And I still think Miami has a chance of beating and whoever they would play in the finals, if it turns out to be that case. But, I'm not ready to run Danny out of town.
No. But
he's done a pretty good job.
But I understand Joe's frustration because I think things changed when you figured out you were playing Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then, getting down 3-1, you see the constructs of the teams, and then you see what the Celtics have in terms of assets, and what are they going to do with them, and how are they going to use them, and where does this team sit next year?
Well, but let's get to this year first. I mean, you guys are talking like this is over. I mean, we've already seen it, Denver twice come back from 3-1.
Yeah.
I think anything can happen in the bubble. I don't think this is over. I know this sounds like the last cast for the Celtics play-by-play guy, the Homer, but I really don't think this is over. The Celtics beat Miami 5 out of 6 before this whole thing started in the bubble. And then in the first two games, they had double-digit leads in both the first two they played. So I'm still not convinced Miami's a better team. Therefore, I'm not convinced that this is over. I like Brad's approach. It's the only approach you can really take, but at least he takes the right one. And that they don't have to win 3 games on Friday. They just have to win 1, and then they have to move on. I'm anxious to see how Tatum and the rest of them perform with their backs to the wall, because the backs truly will be to the wall on Friday night.
Are you shocked at how much they've been shooting themselves in the foot? Because, I mean, I contend that this is all about the turnovers. You can't commit 19 turnovers. I mean, they lost by 3, and they turned the ball over 19 times. That, to me, is the one that got away and the definition of a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah, without question. I agree with you 100%. That was hard to watch last night, some of the passes that were made. It was like they met on the bus on the way over.
Yeah, and when you look at that, because this is something that during this series has been, you know, I mean, the one thing they've been consistent in is turnovers. They've been bad. They had 20 in game 2. I mean, that's not the Celtics I remember from the regular season. 14 in game.
No, what's
that? Go ahead.
They're like a 12 turnover team in my mind.
Yeah,
that's kind of the number that they're at. They usually can play pretty well if they stay within 12, 13 turnovers. You get up around 16, 17, you're in trouble. You get around 20, forget about it. You can't give the ball up 20 times without a shot.
Because the Heat are obviously doing it right. Because the end of that game, the fourth quarter should be taught to coaches on how to run nearly flawless basketball. The way that the Heat didn't turn over, they didn't do any. I think, Fred, you said that they only fouled twice in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, at least late in the there was a foul late in the fourth, and it was the second team foul, recollection.
That's crazy. So, I mean, it was the definition of self-control, where on the other side, you had the exact opposite of that. So is that something that can be coached? Or do you believe that is, I don't know, part of the bubble experience that everyone's just off? Or where do you, like, how do you fix that? Because it's a big problem.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you fix it. You got to keep the ball in the hands of Hayward. I think he's the guy who doesn't turn the ball over in that group. I don't know. That's just so uncharacteristic of them. It's hard for me to figure out exactly how you're going to solve it, or whether it's just going to solve itself, because the averages will turn out to be that they are closer to a 12 turnover team than they are to a 20 turnover team. But what we're not talking about here at all is, you know, the Celtics, there's a lot of reasons you can pick for the Celtics' demise last night, but the number one reason is Harrell. I mean, you don't expect a kid to come off the bench and score 37 points and make every shot and play like he's young Larry Bird. I mean, he made a touch pass on the baseline last night that was just brilliant. So they found a kid who could really play, and he picked a nice stage to show you how well he could play.
Jason Tatum started matching him in the second half after a first half. I can't ever remember Jason looking worse in a half of basketball than he did in the first half last night. How do you explain what has kind of happened to him as we've gone deeper into the playoffs? He's been really, really good for about 90% of it, but then there's that 10% you saw last night.
Well, yeah, I just saw last night in the first quarter. I wanted to grab somebody and say, did somebody tell this kid to let the game come to him? Just let the game come to him. We don't want him to let the game come to him. We want him to take over the game. Especially on the offensive end. He's shown that he can be a better than I thought defensive player and rebounder, but we want him to take over the game on the offensive end. We don't want him being a finesse player. We don't want him, again, sitting back and playing a Jimmy Butler kind of game and waiting until the fourth quarter to step up. He's going to step up the whole game. And I think we'll see that on Friday night. He admitted in the press conference afterwards that not only that he didn't play well, but it was inexcusable that he'd play a whole half without scoring. But he just wasn't aggressive at all. Again, it was like somebody had said, you know, all the great players let the game come to them. Let it come to you. Well, it came to him and went right by him in the first half.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to ask you a quick question. Not trying to get Danny Ainge out of town or Brad Stevens, but do you think that Brad Stevens has been outcoached in the series?
I think I don't know what I get at the outcoach thing. He certainly has. It's even. At best, it's even from a Celtic point of view. But the thing is, Spoelstra is a very good coach. I've been maintaining that for a long time. I think he's one of the top three coaches in the league and has been for years now. So who would I give the edge to right now? I'd give the edge to Spoelstra, for sure.
It's interesting, though, because Brad Stevens, you know, you were hearing guys were coming here because they wanted to play for Brad Stevens, and Brad Stevens was this, you know, wunderkind. And it has been interesting the last two series, seeing that maybe that's not as much of an advantage as we thought. Am I the only one who thought that, you know, Stevens was this magician that was going to make all these things happen?
I don't think that statement's too far-fetched at all. I think you're right about that.
He kind of hasn't shown what we were led to believe. I think it's safe to say. Maybe the expectations were too high, but the expectations were set at a level that he hasn't met.
So you hold him responsible, not the players at all?
Yes, Mike, that's the point I'm making. No, of course I hold the players responsible, but, I mean, people talked about Brad Stevens like he was the second coming.
It's surprising to see him outcoached, I guess, is the point.
Yeah, right. Yeah. When there's scenarios where we're talking about him being outcoached, it's surprising.
Right. It's not what was expected. But then again, when you look back at what Spoelstra has done in Miami over the last however long he's been there, you tend to say, oh, yeah, geez, I guess there wasn't paying enough attention to this guy.
No. Spoelstra is a very good coach, but you just didn't expect Stevens to get outcoached by him, is, I guess, what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying, yeah.
That is what I'm saying. I did not expect it. And you did not expect it either. You did not expect it either.
No, I did not expect it. I didn't expect him to be outcoached, but I didn't expect him to outcoach also. I thought it was kind of a draw.
Okay.
I think they're both, if you list the top five under 45 years old coaches in the league, these guys are right in the conversation early.
Right. Do you put it on Brad at all, though, that, you know, when you see a first half like Tatum's and, you know, you see a team that's turning the ball over like that, is that a Brad? You put that more on the players than Brad?
Well, you never know how much actually goes on in the huddle and then actually gets executed on the court, number one. And, I think you put a lot on the coach. You tend to put the player seems to get the credit if the team wins. The coach seems to get the dirt if the team loses. Maybe that's just the way the game's played. Let's wait until the series is over before we start making seminal judgments here.
Okay, because you're confident they can come back.
I think of course I'm confident. Again, they beat these guys 5 out of 6 times going into this playoff, and they again had double-digit leads in the first two games, at least one of which they should have won. I'm not ready to bail on them yet. I don't see any reason to bail on them yet.
Hey, I meant to ask you, I know that a couple of weeks ago you gave us an update. Have you talked to Tommy? Are you been in contact with him as of late?
Yeah, Tommy's struggling a little bit, but he's hanging in there. He's at home. Try to talk to him on the phone every once in a while. He's hanging in. That's the best way I put it. He's hanging in enough that he's got opinions of the game. When you talk to him, he's there, but he's had a rough fight.
What's he saying about this series? You know, when obviously he's, you know, he does, sounds like he's a guy who wants to talk about the game. What is he saying about this series when you talk to him?
Well, God bless Tommy. Tommy has been very consistent for the 40 years I've known him as to how you play the game and how you should play the game. Some of his expressions have become lore around here. But let the guy get out of the box. That's Tyler Herro. You can't let him get out of the box. He got out of the box last night. You couldn't get him back in again. Tommy's talked about that aspect of playing defense for years. So
you got to beat him up.
To go back to,
you got
to
beat him up a Tommy? Little bit. Tommy's saying you got to beat him up a little
physical.
Bit. Yeah.
So, Tommy said you got to punch him as you come down the lane. Exactly. Right. I think we're overlooking the Herro thing for one. If that happens again on Friday night, then we're witnessing NBA history here. But this kid's not going to go get 37 again and Celtics lose by only 3. To go back to the coaching thing for a second, I know I'm jumping around, but to go back to the coaching thing for a second, if there was one thing I didn't get last night is why we didn't get somebody in Harrow's face to stay there for the third and fourth quarter. By then we knew how hot this kid was. It's like we never really thought, okay, he's not going to make the next one because he's only a rookie. He's not going to make the next one. He kept making the next one over and over again. I don't know whether you...
Hello?
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 Mike Gorman.
Yes. Hello?
Well, we lost Mike Gorman. All right. We'll be back. We still have the Bankroll Boys. We can get into Degenerate Special. Rich, I want you to make your money. so we can get into...
I've been making my money. This has been amazing.
That's what I'm saying is I want you to not miss out this week. We'll get into all that. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.